Glad to see everyone back here with us this evening. If you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn with me to the book of Ruth. The book of Ruth, chapter 1, verses 16 and 17 will be the particular verses that we'll be studying together this evening. The book of Ruth, chapter 1, 16 and 17. Friends, it is an undeniable fact that we make choices every day of our lives. You made a choice to roll out of bed this morning. You made a choice as to what clothes you were going to wear. You made a choice to assemble here this morning and, Lord willing, this evening, as you have now. We make choices every day. We understand that choices are made, and we understand the concept of making choices. But friends, choices affecting our eternal state should be of the greatest importance. We see that in the book of Ruth. It sets forth an example, an excellent example, of how people ought to guide their spiritual choices. Here in the book of Ruth, beginning here in chapter 1, we have a family. Elimelech takes his family and moves them out of the land of Judah, out of the land of Israel, takes them over to the country of Moab. Now, the reasoning behind this is that there's a great famine at this time. He's not sure how his family is going to survive. And so he does what he thinks is best and moves them away. They're there for about 10 years. While there, his two sons marry two women of the land of Moab. After a while, Elimelech dies. A while later, his two sons die. And Naomi, Elimelech's wife, decides she's going home. She wants to go back to her people. She has experienced what it's been like to be away from home, to be away from her people, to be away from family. And so she sets her two daughters-in-laws down, who at this time, by this time, have become just like her own children. And knowing what it's like to be away from everything she has ever known, she tells her two daughters-in-law, "You stay here. Go back to your father's house. Marry again men of your own people." At first, they both refuse. Let's notice together our passage in verses 16 and 17. Orpah has decided in verse 14 that she will do as Naomi has begged her to and go home, go back to her father's house. But notice Ruth's reaction in verses 16 and 17. And Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee, for whither thou goest, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me." Friends, in this timeless statement, we find five guidelines by which all should base their choices affecting their souls. Ruth sets for us a tremendous, tremendous example. Number one, Ruth shows us that we must choose a path. We see that in verse 16. Ruth chose a path. Ruth realized that she, like Orpah, had to choose one path or another. She had come, as it were, to that proverbial fork in the road. She had a choice to make. Following the path of Orpah, she could have gone back to her people, to Naomi, a strange land, a strange people, strange gods. Or Ruth could choose, as she did, to follow the path led by Naomi to God's land of promise and the inheritance of God's people. Friends, we choose the path down which our souls travel as well. Just as Ruth decided that she was going to follow the path of righteousness after her mother-in-law, we make a choice, we should make a choice, friends, down which our souls are going to travel. What's that choice going to be? Our choice is going to determine the eternal home of our soul. Do we realize that? Therefore, this choice, friends, must not be taken lightly. Proverbs 4, verse 26. The Proverbs writer states, "Ponder the path of thy feet and let all thy ways be established." Friends, quite simply, the path we choose should not be the way of the world, but that of God. The psalmist writes in Psalm 1 and verse 10, "Blessed is the man that walketh..." Psalm 1 and verse 1, rather. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Friends, we ought to follow God, not the way of the world. As we've mentioned before concerning this particular verse, notice the progression of sin. First you're walking, then you're standing, and before you know it, friends, you're sitting. That sin progressing. But God says, blessed is the man that does not do these things. We read in Proverbs 4:14-18. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it and pass away. Friends, notice what the righteous will do. What does the Proverbs writer say here? Avoid it. Don't even go by it. Turn away from it if you do see it. Pass away. Turn your back on it. Have nothing whatsoever to do with it. For they sleep not except they have done mischief. And their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. Friends, we must choose a path. And as we are assembled here tonight, friends, we know that path should be the way of God. Therefore, it is His Word that is to be our directive. Psalm 119 and verse 105. It should be a lamp unto our path, or light unto our path, and a lamp unto our feet. It should guide us. The Word of God sheds light for us. Number one, we must choose a path. Number two, we must choose a place. Friend Ruth had another choice to make. She had to choose a place to lodge. Excuse me. She had to choose a place to lodge. That is, she had to find a place or choose a place to abide, to dwell, to continue in a settled place. She chose that her dwelling, her abode, her lodging would be in the place where God had put His name. Deuteronomy 12 and verse 5. Let's think about that for a moment. Do we choose to abide in the place where God has put His name? We talked about the importance of the Lord's church this morning. Do we take up our lodging in the place that God has placed His name? There is a place wherein we must abide, friends. That place is the church. The place where God has put His name. This place is a hallowed place because God's name is there. Matthew 6 and verse 9. This place is a holy place. That is, it's an antitype of the holy place of the temple. This place is a heavenly place. Friends, as we spoke about this morning, the saved are placed within the church. Therefore, the church, this heavenly place, it leads to heaven. We know that the King rules from heaven. That's where Jesus' abode is at this time. And it's the place where heaven, where the heavenward bound dwell. Ephesians 2 and verse 16, Ephesians 3 and verse 11. Acts 2 and verse 47 says that the Lord adds to the church daily those that should be saved, those that are being saved. Friends, quite simply, have you chosen your place to lodge? And is it where God has put His name? Number three, we must choose a people. Ruth had to choose a people among whom she would dwell. Again, we see here two choices. She could have made the same choice as Orpah to go back to her own people. That is a strange people. That is a people that is not God's. Or she could go to the people of Naomi, Jehovah God's covenant people. Friends, to us, of course, as we read this particular passage, the choice is clear. And the choice that Ruth made placed restrictions on her, didn't it? Deuteronomy 23 and verse 3. I want you to notice this with me, if you will, and pay close attention to what it says. And remember that as we read this, that Ruth is a Moabitess. Deuteronomy chapter 23 and verse 3, an Ammonite or a Moabite shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord. Even to their tenth generation shall they not enter into the congregation of the Lord. Friends, in order to become a proselyte, full-fledged, she had to convert wholly unto Judaism, unto the law of Moses. And even then, she would not be allowed, and her offspring would not be allowed into the temple or the tabernacle area until the tenth generation. were going to be certain restrictions placed upon her. It's going to be hard. Not to mention the hardship she was already going to face coming into a strange land that is strange to her, among a people that were strange to her. And yet she made that choice anyway. Friends, we must choose a people. Whether it be the people of the world or the people within the Lord's church, we can, like Orpah, choose the Moabites, so to speak. The ways of the world, the people we choose as our people is going to shape our character. We see that in 1 Peter 4, verse 4. We see it again in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33. The people that we choose to surround ourselves with, the people we choose to dwell among, those people are going to help shape our character. We can read from Scripture and know that the Moabites were enemies of God's people. They sought to destroy God's people through the aid of Balaam, Numbers 22, 1 through 20. They sought to corrupt God's people through idolatry and immorality, Numbers 25, 1 through 9. They did all they could to destroy the people of God. We know that they were enemies of God, friends, and so is the world. If we choose the world, we've chosen to be enemies with God. And friends, the other choice is, like Ruth, we can choose God's covenant people. God made a covenant with the Jews to bring the Messiah into the world. And since the Messiah has come and Christ has established a new covenant with man to bring salvation through obedience, we see that covenant is a better covenant built upon better promises, Hebrews 8 and verse 6. It is a covenant of grace, Titus 2 and verse 11. It is a covenant of law, Hebrews 8 and verse 10. It is a covenant of knowledge, Hebrews 8 and verse 11. It is a merciful covenant, Hebrews 8 and verse 12. It is a covenant of forgiveness, of remission, Ephesians 1 and verse 7. It is a covenant of redemption, 1 Peter 1 and verse 19. Friends, it is a covenant that God has made with those that will obey. You're not physically born into this covenant as were the Jews, but rather born by obedience into this covenant. Friends, it's also a very restrictive covenant. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 and 10. Every choice we make will place upon us restrictions. If we choose the world, then we are restricted from fellowship with God and His people. 1 John 1, 5 through 7. But friends, if we choose the way of God, if we choose God's covenant people, we are restricted from fellowship with the world. Ephesians 5, verse 11. What would you have? Would you have fellowship with God or fellowship with the world? You've got a choice to make. Will you choose the world or will you choose God? Number four. Not only must we choose a people, friends, we must choose a protector. The Bible has clearly set forth the fact that there are only two between which we may choose to protect us, so to speak. You may choose God, or you may choose Satan. Matthew 6, verse 24. God is clearly the protector that we must use, for God will never forsake us. Hebrews 13, and verse 5. But friends, when Satan, when he was met with opposition, James 4, verse 7, the Bible tells us that he will flee. God doesn't run. He will not flee. Not only that, friends, but God cannot lie. Titus 1, and verse 2. But what does the Bible, what does God's Word say of Satan? He is the father of all lies. John 8 and verse 44. Friends, God seeks to save. He seeks our salvation, Luke 9 and verse 10. But Satan seeks to devour, 1 Peter 5 and verse 8. Satan seeks to destroy. Friends, the simple truth is that Satan cannot protect us, for he is not omnipotent, not all-powerful. But he will himself, with all of his followers, be one day destroyed by God. Matthew 25, verse 41. Whose side do you want to be on? The side of God? The side of Satan? Friends, we must choose a protector. Life is filled with choices. Some more difficult than others. There was a farmer that hired a man to work for him. And the first task was going to be to paint the barn. He said it should take him about 3 days to complete. The worker finished it in 1 day. The farmer set him to cutting wood then, telling him it would require about 4 days. The hand finished in 1.5 days. The next task was to sort out a large pile of potatoes into 3 piles. You had seed potatoes, food for the hogs, and then potatoes that were good enough to sell. The farmer said it was a small job and shouldn't take long at all. At the end of the day, the farmer came back and found that the hired man had barely started. "What's the matter here?" the farmer asked. The hand's simple reply was, "I can work hard, but I can't make decisions." Friends, we have a decision to make. We all have choices to make, all basically the same, right or wrong, good or better. Ruth and Orpah were faced with the same dilemmas. They were faced with the same difficulties. They were faced with the same choices. But one chose her people. One chose the people of the world, and one chose the people of God. Ruth chose the path that led to the place where God's people dwelled under His protection. Friends, we have a choice to make tonight. What's that choice going to be? Let's put away our Bibles. Let's take out our song. Let's be ready to sing the invitation song here in just a moment. Friend, what choices have you made concerning your salvation? My friends, don't let there be a doubt. There must be a choice made. If you're one that stands at the invitation song and says, "I'll decide later." Or maybe you're as Felix and say, "I'll obey at a more convenient season." Friends, know this. You've already made your choice. You've already made your choice. You've chosen the people of the world. You've chosen the Moabites. Friends, you've got a choice. We have a choice to make tonight. Why not make the right choice now? Don't put it off. Don't wait. Don't talk yourself out of it, as did Orpah. Friends, what will your choice be tonight? Are you here tonight having never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ? Would you make the choice this evening to put Christ on in baptism, coming in contact with His blood, to have your sins washed away, arising again and walk in the innocent life? Friends, would you do that tonight? And He will add you to His church where He places the saved. Friend, are you here tonight having done that at some point in your past? Have you made a choice to quit following God? Would you make the choice then to come home, to be His again? What's your choice tonight, friend? Would you come now as we stand and as we sing?